Welcome to Burning the Ships podcast. I'm your host, Jason Seward, and today I'm sitting down with my buddy, Justin Cook. And Justin and I met, he's another guest that we're having on that I've kind of met and gotten to know through social media. And we're also in a mastermind group together, so I've spent some good time with him, had some really good conversations, and we have a lot in common. He still is in the insurance industry, and as y'all know, I spent many years in that industry as well, so a lot of connections there. He's a father to two young kids. He'll get into all that in the interview, as am I, so we got that connection, and we're both outdoorsmen, so we both enjoy hunting and everything outdoors and traveling and all that stuff. So Justin, as soon as I met him, I knew that we had a lot in common. I enjoyed talking with him, but he's a very big mindset guy. He's a leader in his industry, in the insurance industry and sales and stuff like that, but does a lot of coaching, mentorship, things like that. And what's really exciting is as this comes out, it will be the week of his book release. So he'll talk about the book and kind of introduce that in the interview. But I encourage all of you to, through the links below and everything, check out that Justin's book and help spread the word there, because it's a really good mindset book that is kind of catered towards sales, but also just overall mindset through life and challenges and the goods, the bads, and all that stuff. So I have yet to read the book. I'm excited to get my hands on it and read it myself. Before we get into the interview, let me do JJ's joke of the week, and here we go. Why did the tree get in trouble at school? Because it was acting shady. And that is JJ's joke of the week. So with that, we will turn it over to my conversation with my buddy, Justin Cook. I hope y'all enjoy. Justin Cook, welcome to Burning the Ships, my man.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. And I'm real excited about this because you and I have very similar career paths and backgrounds, both in the insurance industry. So we'll get into all that. But I'm really excited to have you on here. We're right around the launch of your new book, and I'll let you get into all that. And Justin, you know, you and I, we've known each other a couple years now through some similar masterminds that we've been a part of. And I actually followed you, I've been kind of following your journey before I ever met you or talked to you, because you are so active on social media, in a very productive way. So we'll get into all things that, but before I tee up any questions for you, I'm just going to turn it over to you, Justin, and let you introduce who you are, your story, take that wherever you want, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Thanks again, Jason. You forgot to mention that we're both outdoorsmen that are
huge. Yeah. Trust me. I was getting there.
I knew you were going to go there, but, also a family man. I know we'll go there too.
Yep.
And, I've been in the insurance business for 20 years, born and raised in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Now, do business in the Quad City area. But have, Lowland's 13, Hudson's 10. I'm a proud father, very active father. And really what I think you'll figure out through our podcast here and our conversation is that's really the reason I do what I do, is really passionate about my kiddos and spending time with them and my girlfriend Kelsey and Gio, her son. And everything that I do is for a deeper why than just what we're doing. It's more of why we're doing it. And so been working on that for many, many years, and I'm excited to have a book coming out called Freedom Beyond Wealth. I've poured 2 years of my heart into that book, and it's coming out June 3rd. And so I think you'll find value if you purchase that book. So excited about that. And I've learned a few lessons along the 20 years in the insurance business, and hopefully some of those will be valuable to you today as Jason and I have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that about you. I do have, so about your book, and I'll kind of start with this question. You've got a habit, and we're going to talk a lot about habits today because you are a very good testament of somebody or an example of somebody that you are very disciplined in your habits, right? So one of those habits that I've noticed, because you do a great job kind of documenting these things and inspiring people on social media, but you read every day. Now, how long has that streak been going that you've read? Don't you read like 10 pages or a chapter a day or something?
Yeah, you've been paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
10 pages a day since October of last year. And
Okay.
it's 10 pages a day for life is what I post. And I really committed to that habit and that exercise because I found the power in just literally reading a simple 10 pages of a book that it can literally shift your mindset for the day, and it's not technology driven. I used to listen to audio, and I still listen to audio every single morning, but the 10 pages without the phone really allows me to just kind of focus in on that. And I'm usually reading a book in the direction that I'm wanting to go. Like right now I'm reading Effective Coach, and I keep them close. So I mean it's been a shift. I used to never want to read, but once I started reading 10 pages a day and just made it like a non-negotiable for life, it's really been a part of my process daily.
Yeah, and I'm curious as you're talking through that, would you describe yourself as like I don't mind sharing. I have extreme ADHD or ADD. Like I cannot focus. So, and I think you and I have talked about this before, but you have some level of that as well. How important is implementing these disciplines and these habits to really help manage that?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely important. I mean, to give you a little bit of look at my day besides the reading is I do the same thing almost every day. There are some things that I adjust if calendar doesn't I need to adjust a calendar, but a normal day in my life, I wake up, excuse me. I do a gratitude exercise every single morning. And that happens every single day. And what that looks like is I use social as a tool. And if you follow me, then you'll notice that I post memories every single day, usually. And what that is doing, it's cool for my audience to see my memories, but that's not really what it's about. What it's about, it's selfishly for me to remind myself. Say this morning I was looking at the kids 10 year, when Hudson was a baby and Lola was 2 or 3, and I remind myself every single day that I'm blessed to wake up, literally. And I think starting with a gratitude exercise, whether that's looking at memories, that's what I do, and sharing those memories that were so special, it allows me to be have gratitude and be appreciative for the journey.
Yeah.
You'll one thing I do that every single morning. I get an exercise in every single morning, at least 20 minutes of movement, whether that's a walk. This morning I'm at the Lake of the Ozarks, and I have walked the same trails, same hills. It's a beautiful of the lake. So I try to get exercise in every single morning.
Yeah.
As I'm listening to exercise, I'm feeding my mind, Jason, with the likes of, we've heard them all, Eric Thomas to Tony Robbins to, this morning was Jim Rohn. And so that happens every single day. And it's almost like brushing your teeth. Like if you don't brush your teeth, you're probably like, man, I need to brush my teeth. Like, and that's how deep in these habits are. Because I'm like you, man, I got a lot moving. I got a lot of irons in the fire, the book. I have a coaching company we'll talk a little bit about. I'm an insurance agent and I'm building real estate. So a lot of different moving parts. And that is the time for me just get my mind right for the day.
Yeah.
And so yeah, just a little bit about the habits and mindset.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to have some type of that structure that is forced, right? And then you force it long enough, like to your point, it becomes like brushing your teeth. You don't really think about it. It's just, this is who I am. I read 10 pages a day. I go for a walk or move my body every day. And I have gratitude every day. And when you have that like foundation of structure, I think it helps folks like you and I just calm down in the brain a little bit, especially if you're starting your day with these habits, right? Because it's very tempting to wake up, jump right on the computer and just get to work, right? And just get to putting out all the fires and trying to move the needle and all that stuff. Well, if you do that without some type of foundational structure, like you're talking about, you know, to bookend your days, you know, start your day off strong, end it strong, then it just, it feeds the chaos if you don't have some type of structure in place. So I think that's like a good starting point from a mindset standpoint is like, even if it's short blocks of time, 20 minutes, 10 pages, a gratitude of sharing something from social media, it gives you control at the start of your day, right? And you start the day with a win, with a victory, with a, I'm feeling good about everything going on, I'm grateful and all this stuff, and then all the BS that comes the rest of the day, it's made a little bit easier, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're preparing your mind. You know, if you get it, if you progress enough in life and you've had big challenges, especially if you're running businesses, you know that the fires are coming, right? Yep. It's not if the fires are, if they're going to come, it's when they're going to come and how you are mentally set to be able to handle those things.
Yeah.
And so you just have to know, I'm a huge believer in time blocking as well, right? And doing certain activities at certain times. And that first hour, it's sometimes even, I block usually a couple hours for this whole process because, you know, if you can't get your mind right, how are you going to be able to handle the rest of the day if you have a lot going on? So, couldn't agree more.
Yep. And I think it also gives you, again, I'll go back, like it kind of calms the chaos down, like, you know, high energy, highly, you know, just wired people. If they don't have some type of, call it meditation or some type of structure in their day, it can create, it can create a lot of frustration just in general. And sometimes that frustration can be expressed to coworkers or family or friends, or, and it can hurt relationships. So this daily habit goes well beyond how it impacts your business and stuff like that. It's a cornerstone or foundation for all things personal and business, I would think. So,
absolutely.
Yep. So you mentioned kind of as we got going and you started introducing yourself, your two kids, 13 and 10, and I know that they are your why. I know that they're the most important thing. So before we get into more like mindset and business type stuff, let's talk about being a dad and all, because I know it's the most important thing in your life, and you've built all this stuff and all this structure and things in your life in order to perfect that even more. You're never going to be a perfect father, but you have done everything you can to provide them with the best environment for them to thrive in. So talk about your two kids, talk about some strategies that you've implemented over the years, especially as they're getting older and can kind of recognize things that not only help you have more balance and focus with them, but also training them to be good human beings, like I said earlier. So
yeah, man, that's I'm blessed. I get to spend a lot of time with my kids, but it's not accidental. It's very intentional, and very, very intentional. You know, so I only am with my kids physically about 50% of the time, and so I'm very habitual in this way too. And so when I don't have my children, that's my time to work when they're not physically with me, or if they're in school. And I block those days very intentionally, like today, and to do things, to do activities, and to get a lot of work done when they're not with me. And they're, you know, they know that, right? I communicate these things with them. One thing I do every single day, and I can tell you honestly, I haven't missed a day in probably 3 years, is I call them every single morning. and every single evening before bed. They see my face when they're not with me, morning and evening. And, you know, it's funny, my son this morning, he said, "Dad, do you realize you call at 7:19 every single day?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Man," he said, "you are like consistent." And just from him saying that, right, it almost brings a tear to my eyes because he is learning consistency from that.
Yep.
That's what's going on. It's bigger than, oh, just call on your son. And so I've been doing that for years since I didn't have them
right
every day. And when I do have them, I am blessed to have this flexibility in my life that I get to take them to school every morning. And that's a 45-minute drive, believe it or not. You know, they're very consistent with their habits. I set the example, but they get up at certain time. They're in the shower at a certain time. We leave at 6:20 a certain time. And so, you know, they have that consistency, which I think is good for a kiddo. One exercise we do, and we've been doing this for about 3 years, every single morning at the same spot, we do a gratitude exercise. And we just simply turn the radio off, put the phones down, and we just every morning, they know it's coming. And I just say, "Hey, Lola, what are you thankful for today? You know, Hudson, what are you thankful for?" And then I'll go usually last. But it just, that mindset gets them in that gratitude of mindset in the conversations that are derived from the drives, you know. This is a good point, Jason, of a lot of people, look, you have to drive 45 minutes to school. And honestly, I get to drive my kids 45 minutes because the conversations and the interactions that's going on with my kids during that time is priceless.
Yep.
Right? At the end of the day, it's priceless. I wouldn't change that. Instead of the rush and bus and go into, you know, school in 2 minutes, that's nothing wrong with that either if that's your situation. My point is, make the best of your situation.
Yep.
And, you know, it's you know, their activities, I don't miss much.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying I don't miss anything because I do, but it's not much.
Yep.
My travel, I'll give you an example. My nights are Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night. So I was in North Carolina at a mountain house that I have a part of. And, you know, I fly back 4 days early to be with my kids Wednesday night and have them Wednesday night and Thursday night that week. And, you know, that place I was staying, you know, it's $1,500 a night.
Right.
And I could have easily said, "Well, kiddos, you know, it's..." But that's not it. Here, you know, Jason, I know you have the same values, is that time's going quick. That time is so precious. So I really, everything I do around my kids is very intentional and it's very prioritized. I have 50% of the time during the summer, week on, week off. That 50%, that week, we're either traveling, we're doing baseball, basketball, volleyball. We're doing activities or we're going and seeing things and doing things or having a thing at the house that week. That whole week, yes, I do my routines in the morning because they're sleeping. Like, that's another reason that makes sense.
Yep.
But they're the priority. And, you know, I hired a coach two years ago now. And he asked me, one of the first questions, he said, "Justin, what do you want?" And my kids were, time with my kids was number one on my priority list.
Yep.
And so ever since saying that, writing that down, that's been my number one. It's not to make the most money. It's not to write a book. It's not to be a coach. It's to joy, be present, which is hard for ADHD people.
Right.
It's really hard. That's why we got to stay so active with them, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I reflect often every single morning. And I honestly, when it comes to my kids, I have a scoreboard. And I can show you on my calendar every Friday, it says, "How did you do this week with your kids?" and it's in front of me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I'm like, oh shit, I could adjust this over here, this next week. But for the most part, I'm pretty proud.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of the how I'm using my time with them.
Yeah. I love every bit of that. And the thing you said on the front end of all that, I think is the most important takeaway is when your son said you're consistent, you know, calling him at 7:19 every morning. That like that touches me because like that is not, and you see it too. You're involved with all their sports. You see a bunch of different type of parenting styles and stuff like that, I would imagine. You're not just preaching to them. You need to be consistent and disciplined in life and then off not being that way yourself, right? So you are modeling for them. Because, I mean, think back to when we were kids. Did we pick up, like you played sports, I played sports. We didn't necessarily pick up on most of what was told to us, right? We picked up on the habits that we saw and the model, like the examples we saw. I want to be like this person that I look up to. Well, if that person that I look up to is just lazy and they're not living, like I'm liable as a kid to turn out that way. So in most cases, that person is a parent or somebody or a coach, somebody close to them. So in your kid's case, in my kid's case, the person that they look up to, Superman, me, you, has to be living like Superman, right? And you know, metaphorically, like reading every day, doing consistent habits, always being there, always showing up, doing what you say you're going to do. And you don't need to preach anything to them if you're living by that example for them to follow, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, if you look at this whole habits and you look at the person today, right? I always say don't compare yourself, your chapter 10 versus somebody's chapter 1 or
right.
the opposite.
Right.
And, you know, you may hear a lot of these habits that we're saying on here, man, I need to start somewhere. And my encouragement there is start with one thing. What are you going to do tomorrow? Commit to one thing and then stack it. That's what you hear from me is 20 years of a journey of me continually working on me, mm-hmm. you know, and this whole, the whole thing around my kids, say 5 years ago, right? I was there. But I was on email a lot of times. I took email off my phone from the insurance agency. Early in my career, I would have said that was impossible.
Right.
I cannot have the flexibility I have without it on my phone.
Right.
I would have been the first person to tell you that. But so I think consistent development, consistent, like working on these habits, but start somewhere. You know, it's maybe it's 10 pages a day. Maybe it's the exercise. Don't try to do, if you're at this point, don't try to do everything at once. You probably won't end up doing anything. And you'll be back to where you're not wanting to be.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the book, Jason, Freedom Beyond Wealth, is really freedom beyond wealth. Most people see wealth as money. For me, it's time.
Yep.
It's time with kids. So that freedom of being able to spend time with the ones you love the most is much more valuable than the dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, and having the freedom and flexibility to dictate how you spend that time, right? Whether it's in you know, like a big shift I've made. Sounds like you do this as well, but like I look week to week at a blank slate of a calendar, and it used to be for years, especially when I was in the insurance industry, and you know I was in sales management. I just had a lot on my plate, so I would allow my calendar every week to get filled up with all of my career stuff, right? And then once I got into real estate hot and heavy, that was even adding more on the calendar. So when I would look on a Sunday at the upcoming week, I'd have very small windows that I could fill up with kid and family stuff, right? I'd almost have to schedule, like squeeze in a family dinner or squeeze in picking them up, taking them to whatever practice. The big shift I had is when I started like looking at it as a blank slate, and I'm going to put all of my personal stuff in first, right? All my workouts, my family dinners, movie nights, pizza, ice cream, well, you name it. It's all going on the calendar. And then I started filling the gaps up with business stuff, and a couple things happened. One, obviously, once I created this habit, I was spending a lot more time with my family. That's great for everybody. No, I don't need to go into detail there. There's nothing better than spending more time. That was the number one priority. But number two, when I condensed the time that I could focus on business down and I put boundaries, it created urgency. With ADHD, I work best when my back's against the wall and I have a deadline, but I created those and I became more productive in those 2, 3, 4 hour blocks that I had blocked off for business than I was in 2 day periods that I had blocked off for business. So I think, and it's kind of the point you're talking about, being very intentional with your time and time blocking, but doing so where you put the like you're creating wealth in the form of time or money, however you want to phrase it, but you're doing that for a reason. And most of the time it's for your family and it's for your relationships. Well, if that's true, you got to prioritize that on your calendar, right? And that's I think that's where you're going with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean it's and I couldn't have said it best. Basically, you flipped it, right? You flipped it from family first and everything else second. And man, I was same. I can relate to that because and you almost like you are always taught a blank calendar and you're in sales, right? Like a blank calendar's the devil. It's bad, right? It's horrible. And I think early on in our careers, I know you're in the same business. We started grinding, right? We were sales. We were to the pavement, and it was the case then. If you didn't have so many appointments on the calendar, you didn't. So that comes with growth. Of you may be in a season of your life where you gotta, you have to do things. You have to sacrifice a little bit, but there's still a way. The main thing is still a way if you're intentional, right? And if you're paying attention to your priorities, then you'll make better decisions. If you just wait for life to happen and you're just going to react every single day, it's going to be a whirlwind.
I'm curious. I'm going to ask a sales related question because it was a real big pivot for me. I don't know, probably 12 years ago, when I was still, selling insurance heavy, right? And I used to have this mentality of whatever the goal post was, if it was to win a big incentive trip or round table or whatever the case may be that I was chasing that year, I would look at that goal and my mindset was always, I'm going to win it, come hell or high water, and I'm going to grind my way to do it. But I never reverse engineered from the end goal all the way down to my daily KPIs, right? Never did that until probably 11, 12 years ago. I flipped all that as well. I would look at that end goal and I'm setting this up because I want to hear your take on it, but I would look at that end goal. And if you're in sales long enough, like insurance sales, you have a good enough history, as long as you've tracked everything the correct way, but where you can say, if I do 10 outreaches, it should lead to 3 appointments, should lead to 1 sale, right? So if I know that the ultimate goal is 100 sales, then I know I need to make 1,000 outreaches. And then I can divide that by however many working days are on in the month and come up with a daily activity. And when I did that and I just stopped, I knew the goal and I set it aside. I did the math, figured out my daily activities and my team's daily activities. We still got the result in the end. We still hit the goal, but it was a lot less chaos and stress involved. So can you speak to that strategy and whether or not you employ something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. I think early on in my career, I didn't have that strategy, but for the last several years, we absolutely do. We call it daily wins, right? And we really focused on periodization, right? I found that if you have high structure and you're focused on winning the day and those activities that you're speaking of, if we ask 5 people per day about life insurance, we're going to sell life insurance. If we make so many calls or have so many appointments per day, we're going to win the game. And I think I was just coaching team this morning on that same concept is it's I have a saying that I relate to any business, but it really works with the insurance business is your attitude plus your activity plus your ability minus excuses equals success. Attitude plus activity plus ability minus excuses equals success. And really, when we're struggling, if you look at that on a daily basis, if you periodization that out and you say, okay, because that's how I coach my team, which part are we off? If you have a great attitude, but you take no action, don't expect any results. But if you have tons of action with a horrible attitude, don't expect results. Right. So where the ability piece is through experience and education, right? We can teach that part. Attitude, you got to show up with a good attitude, right? Action, we can say, hey, here's Jason, what it does, it boils it down in simplicity. You know, I'm a big believer. I'm not that smart of a guy, but I do take a lot of action. I'm an action-oriented guy. Like, and I think that's just who I am and my personality. Because I know if I take enough action, whatever I'm doing, eventually I'm going to progress, right? So it's really, as you think about, so to answer your question, yes, we have every day I have a report submitted to my leaders of the team, but also I'm copy on it, and it shows their key, you call them KPIs, whether it's real estate or whatever, it's just actions, indicators of whether you won the day or you didn't. So we train, I train heavily on that, you know, and, you know, are we allowing one event to ruin our day? Because in insurance, you have claims, you have all kinds of different challenges, clients that are upsetting. It's a whole works if you run a big insurance agency, and really work on that attitude and that mindset of know that's coming. Right. It's just like me on a different level, like a different things happening. But at the end of the day, are we blocking time to do the activities? Or we're big on time blocking. If I have a team member struggling, what's happened most of the time from an action is they're letting the day run them.
Yep.
They're not communicating with the team. They're not doing the activities from a sales standpoint to help people. Right, the day is just owning them, and I think one thing that's very crucial. It just happened to be an insurance agency for me, but we meet every single morning, so it's the consistency you'll hear throughout my life. Right, like 8:30 to 9:00, my team meets. Now I only meet with them on Mondays because of different priorities and actions I'm doing right now. But we meet every single morning, 8:30 to 9:00, and then there's a different topic. That's consistent week to week that we're going over Monday through Friday. So that is, I always had the feeling, Jason, from an urgency standpoint, right? If X is the goal, then if you're urgent every day and you're tracking, you're communicating and you know the goal and we know what it takes to get there and we're not getting there, then we have to look at our culture. We have to look at, as a leader, we have to look at, you have the right people on the boat? The right people on the bus, you know, and so really breaking those things down. Are we winning the day? Are we winning the week? Is absolutely key in sales and quite honestly, anything.
Anything. Yeah. Yeah. We've implemented, you know, again, back to my insurance days, but talk about a daily win, especially for our newer hires that were, you know, it's just all about activity, getting it, you know, talking to as many people as you can. We would do a point system, right? And it was struck because it had a lot of ways to earn points throughout the day, but you win the day if you get 10 points. And all these were activity related things, because a couple things that we can assess there. If they get 10 points a day over a 3-month period of time, or you know, over a quarter, and the results are not there, well, I can look at all either a couple things. You're either misreporting, and that's somebody not being very ethical, so we can address that. Or you're doing all these activities, but now are you having trouble with closing? Are you having trouble with your presentation, your phone script, whatever input anything? And then we can dissect, because now we have data we can look at. And so if you're getting a daily win, I obviously, as a leader, and you as a leader, you want to see the end results, but you trust that those daily wins enough to know if they do them day after day, you're either going to get the results or you're going to quickly be able to identify where more training is needed or action. So, yeah, you hit on something that I want you to elaborate a little bit more, because a lot of our listeners are in the real estate space, but I think this is relatable because a lot of them may have, you know, run real estate brokerages or teams that are meeting on a regular basis. But you talk about these daily 30-minute meetings. Can you go over kind of the structure of those meetings? Like, do you have the same individual putting together the daily agenda or whatever the topic is, or does that rotate? Give us some insight on that if you can.
Sure. I'm a huge believer. How I came up with that is I spent 3 months with an agent that was highly successful. And, you know, he taught me that anytime there's a big problem, usually within a team, there's a gap of communication. And so what he did is, hey, we meet every single morning, so we're open and transparent. And, you know, yes, there's a structure every single day, and I think there's power in some of that structure. So Mondays, to keep it high level, not too much in the weeds, Jason, but Mondays we go over what happened the week before, what went well, what are we struggling with, where can we help each other, you know. And so we go through each line of business and really look at the last week. Did we win the last week? Not the year, the week, and how we can adjust and make difference this week, right? And then Tuesdays is very powerful. So Mondays are usually a busy day for most people, or maybe not all positive in nature. And so Tuesday we go around the room and we share something kind of like I do with my kids, to be honest. Yeah. And is we go around the team and what is going on well. It could be personal. It can be business related. What I want to do there is specifically on Tuesdays to reset our mind, because a lot of people's Mondays affect their entire week. We can't allow, we got 4 days left.
Yep.
Right. In most people's week. And so we have to reset our mind, our attitudes, and there's power in gratitude. Right. So when other people are sharing, that brings other people up. And as you share something good, unconsciously, you're not even knowing that your attitude's changing as you focus on the good. So that's what we do Tuesday. Wednesday, we do a bigger picture. Right. So we're looking at the more of an annual growth goals and where we're at from a bigger picture and airplane view. Right. Thursday, we role play. So every Thursday, we role play. And if you're in sales and you're not role playing with your team, I can promise you there are so many gaps.
Yep.
That you're never going to get it perfect. It's all about progress. And so, you know, to be on my team, you have to be okay with role playing, because if you can't, we encourage failure, right? We encourage messing up, like all mess up. You know, I jump on role plays with my teams and, you know, I don't care to mess up. I'm vulnerable. I think that's a strength. And so, you know, it may be a conversation I haven't done in years. Justin, I'll do it. I'll jump. And it just shows them that you're in the boat with them. Like, you're not better. You're not higher. You just have a different role than the rest of your team. And so role playing and letting them fail, letting them mess up and actually feel it. Because if you were fly on the wall watching your team, you're going to find out that there's a lot of things they're doing that you're not, you wouldn't do, or you would recommend to do a different way. And then Friday we go through challenges for the week and how do we finish strong and what do we have in the hopper? And that's a weekly process. Every time, we also, every day we go through urgent items, anything on fire. You know, that's how we started. We knock those out. We want to knock the, I don't want to say negativity. We want to knock the challenges so we're not spending a lot of time with there. The other big key things of meetings is you have to be in control. You have to have somebody in control. And I have a leader within the office that's an ex-football coach, and that's kind of natural to him. I don't allow the negativity. There's no complaining in this meeting. It's very positive. Here's the deal, Jason. We all have challenges in life. We can all bring them to the table. and make a meeting horrible.
Yep.
And not uplifting. So that's not allowed. That we might have a topic that like is a challenge, and we stop that and say, hey, you know, let's table that. Let's get back to it.
I love it. I love this, the whole no negativity allowed. I used to, when I would sit down with my team or individuals, I would tell them the last 5 minutes of this meeting, open forum, y'all can vent all you want to do. You only got 5 minutes to do it. But my goal, they didn't know this, was to make the meeting so positive that they did not want to end it with anything. Like all that stuff's off their mind. So, and I like that. So it would give me intentionality of like, we are going to be grateful. We're going to talk about all good stuff. We're going to spin the negative stuff into positives. And by the end, if you're bold enough to vent, you know, on something negative, then you're in the wrong place. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But no, I love that, man. I think you laid out a good roadmap. And I don't, man, it could be a sales business. It could be just any type of team culture or team environment. That daily meeting, or you know, however you want to structure it. But you just, Justin just gave us all listening a roadmap of how to structure a 5-day sequence of meetings. And y'all get in and out of there in 30 minutes, and then everybody else is on with their day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been using that, honestly, for 17 years.
Yeah. I like
and so and I didn't invent it. I just copied it from some of the very successful.
Right. So you've been doing that a long time. You've been in the insurance industry for, you said, since 2005. So you know you're very experienced in that regard. You've had a lot of success in that field, but now you've got that rolling. You kind of oversee everything that's going on, but you've ventured out also into, you got the book coming out. That's more mindset and sales ideas and stuff like that. And I'm excited for folks to dive into that book when it comes out on June 3rd, correct?
June 3rd. Yep. Yeah.
Got it. So let's talk about kind of a next step of all the things you have going on. Is you've got all this experience, you've accumulated all these mindset nuggets and strategies and disciplines and habits, you write the book, what's next? I know you're launching a coaching platform here later in the summer, so talk about that.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. This is the next, you know, I'm all about growth in the journey, and so as I look back, obviously there's been a lot of challenges and growth, and you know, the coaching is something I've always been passionate about. Number one, I've always been a coach. I coach my son's basketball team. I coach my team for the last 20 years. And, you know, one thing that really hit me, I'll give you the big picture view and then I'll dive in a little bit, is my big picture view is when I leave this earth is to be known as making a positive impact on the world, on a lot of individuals. And so that's what ultimately drives the coaching program, is to make a difference. You know, I was kind of stuck on my book a year or so ago, and I heard John Maxwell speak, and he said something that inspired me to finish my book. And he said, you know, I never, my goal is never to be a writer. He said, but, you know, I heard somebody say something that was very impactful. They said, you know, if you write a book, it's not just the people that you know in your circles that you talk to that you impact. A book can impact many, many lives forever. And that just kind of hit me, like, that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
It's bigger, you know. I think about my kids, their children, my grandkids, my great grandkids. I'm gone, right? And so what impact am I leaving? What legacy do I want to leave? And that's what's really inspired me to start coaching, group coaching. You know, I'm taking on 20 people and just really pouring in and making a difference.
Yeah.
You know, showing a lot of the things we're talking about, you know, the exercises, there's a lot of different things I'll be coaching through. But that's to really pouring and making a difference. And I will tell you, I want to make sure we get this in there, is freedom beyond wealth to me is, I'm just like, man, we got a lot in common. You know, we're both very goal oriented. I'm at every level in my company, that I insurance agency, I, MDRT lifetime. Not a lot. And you would think, you know, that's a good question of what's next. And one thing I have realized through this whole journey is I was always a next person. Immediate next, not savor it, not enjoy it. And I think that's a personality.
Yep.
Right? I'd make the top level in the company, be in the top 10 out of 19,000 one year and in Aliquot, Illinois. But I wouldn't even think about that, right? It was the next year.
Yep.
I'm gonna be honest with you, like this is vulnerable, but man, that was getting the best of me. Like to show up January 1st and to have to produce at a high level to almost, it almost got to the point when you did that 16 years that it just became me. It was my identity. Like it took it. Like, and thank God I hired a coach, you know, because they want one thing that he did. He asked me early on very simple questions that were so powerful. He asked me, he's like, who are you? And I was sitting in the hot tub of my house. I remember where I was at. And I started naming all these things, my daily habits, my MDRT, all these life achievements, all these like rock star insurance dude, you know, all this stuff. And he stopped me and he said, hey, I didn't ask you what you did, what you accomplished. I asked you who you are. And I get chills. Ooh,
yeah.
You know, I get chills thinking about it. And what I did, Jason, at that time was I said, well, you know, God, you're going to have to give me a few seconds here. You're going to have to give me a few. So I went back and I started thinking about when I was a kid, like who I am inside. And that was loving, competitive, driven, caring. Like, then I started naming those things, competitive. He said, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You were naming what you did. And that little simple exercise hit home so much for me that it changed my life.
Yep.
Like I got to say that, it changed my actions. It changed my thoughts. And, it, you know, when I wrote down what I wanted in life and I wrote down what I didn't have, there wasn't much gap. And, you know, I would highly recommend to read my book, Freedom Beyond Wealth, but also The Gap and the Gain.
Yeah.
Man, it rocked my, it kind of supplemented it, helped with the coaching, is once I realized that, damn it, I've won the game. It actually, when you hear that at first, you're like, oh, that's cocky, or that's like, what else is there, right? That's kind of why you won the game. What else is there? But I'm here to tell you, if you focus on how far you've came and you start keeping score of the journey, and being thankful and having gratitude for that, it won't stop you. It will energize you.
No doubt.
And I think that's where I'm at, is this book, this coaching. You know, I've been blessed to build large insurance agencies, and I appreciate all that. I appreciate the knowledge, the journey. But, man, I'm glad at 42, 41, 42, I woke up and stopped chasing the rat wheel. Stop chasing to, like, if I get to this level, I'm going to be happy. This is going to make me happy. This is going to do it. Like, being a multimillionaire, whatever it is they're chasing, and you think that's the answer. I'm here to tell you that it's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to do it. What I feel that is going to do it is what we've talked a lot about. Is the gratitude exercises, the being thankful for time, family, health, all those things daily. And it's just one of those things, once I went through that process and realized that every day is a great day. And I wish I would have, you know, I say this, Jason, but I wish I would have probably realized that earlier, but you know, it's all part of the process.
Yep.
And I think if you are growth mindset oriented, you'll get to that point, hopefully, where you can have that feel of freedom. Because honestly, it took a lot of grind.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we didn't share, Jason, and it's in my book, but I'll share. I interviewed 7 times to be an agent. 7. And I don't know another agent in the company I'm with. I've interviewed 7 times, and
right.
I didn't think that was that big of a deal when I was doing it. I was like, well, I mean, I keep going, I'm gonna win. Right? I kept it that simple. Like, I know they got to choose me. I won't quit. Surely they'll figure it out.
The old saying: if you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough, right?
Just keep going, right?
Right.
So I share with your listeners because, man, that was some powerful insights in my life, and that's what's really inspired me to coach the person that I was.
Yeah.
Like that's really the difference I look forward to making.
You know, so when you talked about, the more I talk to you and get to know you, the more I see so many similarities. I mean, not just because we were in the same industry and we're now, you're still in the insurance industry, but also in real estate, and all the, our kids are around the same age, all that good stuff. But what I heard you say is something I dealt with. I mean, I'm trying to manage this, but it's ego. It's ego. Right. So when you start and I did it for years, identifying myself with all the victories is how I identify myself. And most of those were career driven. And when that becomes your identity, for me, a couple things happen. It's all I could think about. I had to win the next game, whether that be the next quarterly incentive or bonus or roundtable, whatever it is, I had to win it. Because that's who I am, right? When I didn't achieve whatever the next thing was, my ego was so big that it literally would ruin months of my life. Like I wouldn't want to go to meetings. Because I identify myself as a winner, and I've just lost the last contest, so now I'm a loser in my mind, and my ego wouldn't allow me to accept that. And now, it was just this relentless cycle of never being satisfied. When I win, I'm not satisfied because I got to win the next time. When I lose, I'm not satisfied because I just lost. And that's all ego driven. I had a very similar to sounds like you did with your coach. Have you read the book Ego is Enemy by Ryan Holiday? Good, good book. But I read that and it really started putting everything I just said into check. Like, that is not who I am. I am not a round table winner. That's who I am leads to that pretty often, but that's not who I am. I am Jason Seward, the husband, the father, the family man, the good friend, the good son, the good brother, all those things. That's who I am. And when I started leaning more into those things, all the other things that I was so egocentric about, I got better at, right? When I stopped focusing so much on that all the time. And it sounds like you had a similar experience. And I think to your point, you have to go through, like if you're a high achiever, you have to go through those periods of kind of losing yourself a little bit in that. I don't think that's unhealthy. I think that's a healthy part of the journey, to your point. So what you're offering through a coaching platform is, you're just helping people that are going through their natural journey, and you've been through it as well. And you're just kind of holding their hand to the next step of saying, that's not you. This is you. Let's focus on this and everything else around you will be better. Is that a fair assessment of it? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to give them the secrets of all the journey that I went through, and hopefully shortcut some of it, right?
Yeah.
Just have awareness and of it. And, really help them through that process.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it, man. And one point I want to make about any coaching program, because you've had coaches, I've had coaaches, I have coaches. I used to have, when I was younger, and you may have too, but I used to have this mindset of, I'm not paying a penny for somebody to coach me. I know everything. Not really, but I wasn't going to pay money for it, right? And I worked for a company that had a lot of internal coaching and mentorship, so it didn't come at a cost. But once I started writing a check to a coach or a mastermind or a mentor, knowing that the person I was paying could not give two craps about that money, they charge it because they know that I'm going to pay attention consuming what they're going to coach me on if I have the pain of paying money for it, right? If they offer it for free and I just dip my toes into it, I'm easy to check in, check out. And the point I want to make there is, as you launch this coaching platform, obviously it will come at a cost, but there's a reason for that. And it's not to pad your pockets. You don't need any more money. You're fine, right? You don't need this book to sell a million copies so you can increase your bank account. That'll be nice, but you don't need it. You're doing all these things for value, and they have a price tag because you want the people consuming it to get the most out of it, and they will if they pay a premium for it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I think, you know, you got to think of it like this, especially if you're an entrepreneur or you have employees, is how much are you investing in you? How much, like literally, like when I say how much, I mean money, right? Like if you're paying an employee, your top employee, say $100,000 a year, right? How much are you investing in you and your education? And once a few years ago, when I started writing larger checks for my education, my development, it totally changed. I've showed up to every single call with my coach, or I've let him know I need to reschedule, right? I'm investing in me. And we'll always, you know, this coaching program is at a much lower cost than I'm investing in myself, right? And I'm confident in that the value is multiples of, but you have to show up. And you know, it's at a cost where it's, you know, it's an investment. Like it's not something that, you know, I didn't want to make it at a cost point where I'm showing up and I'm coaching. I'm miserable coaching. Jason, that's the last thing I want, is to pour my energy, my heart, my time into folks that are not committed.
Yep.
And that's why you have to put it that, honestly, for me, I had to put it at least a price point that these people were dedicated to their life, to their, not even career, but just their life. And so, you have to invest in you. And I was the same way, Jason. There was many years that, you know, that I should have had a coach. People ask me, you have a coach? I'm like, no, I just didn't make it a priority.
Yeah.
And honestly, looking back, it's one of the biggest shifts in my life. Yeah. Like that's so I know there's going to be a ton of people seeing this as sales, but here's the deal. I'm not here to sell anything. You're exactly right. Financially, I'm free.
Yep.
My goal from this is to change your life in a positive manner, period.
Yeah.
And yes, there's a lot of work in the background that takes to get to do that, to put the structure and a website and the whole works. It's just like this podcast. It just didn't happen.
Right.
It takes time. And so, you know, one of the things you had mentioned earlier is, you know, there's probably listeners out there that do work for a company or a job that encourage this. Honestly, it's just a rat wheel mentality. They always have a promotion in front of you. Yep. They always have something in front of you, and they do a great job. The top companies do a really good job.
It's a good model.
It works out really good. I would just say you have to, you know, is Jason and I both being competitive. Well, I was the same way, man. What you described is you put it out there, I'll cheat it. You know, but who's that? Who's winning? Like, whose mindset, whose actions? I'm not telling you not to go after those things, but just go out after them and make sure that while you're going after them, you're putting what's truly important in your life first.
Yep.
And not just to go to a trip to Spain because they offer a trip to Spain.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. You know, it's, you get it. It's a rat wheel. It's a burnout. It's a rat wheel mentality. It's not all bad. You just need to have awareness of it. And as life goes on.
Yeah. And again, it all comes back to management of the ego, I think has a lot to do with it. I remember in 2022 when I was just like on the fence, I built my real estate business up very good. It was to a point where I was ready to leave my career, but the ego was there, still there. And it was like, I had such a high income, more than I ever thought I'd make in a career like that. And it was relatively easy. It was time demanding, but it was I was decent enough at it to continue earning that income. I remember talking to my wife and just talking about that struggle. Like, I'm just having a tough time cutting that loose because it's a lot of money, right? And she basically hit me with, and I'll say what she said, but me and the kids don't give a shit how much money you make. We just want you here. Like, and that put it all into perspective. Like, it was just my ego. You know, I'll go make money somewhere, but I don't need that money. Is a tool to give me the things that mean the most to me, which is the family and all those things. And I was compromising that because my ego wanted to keep making all this money that I wanted to earn the money for them. And it's a bad cycle to get into. And I'm fortunate to have gotten out of my own way with help of coaches and my wife. And you're in a different type of structure with your insurance agencies and stuff like that, where you can manage that at a high level and they roll, and you have the freedom to do what you want. But I think everything we've talked about today kind of goes back to ego, right? And you just got to swallow that pride enough to know you might need a coach, swallow it enough to know that reading 10 pages a day might be a good habit to implement in your life to get you to the next level and stuff like that. So, Justin, I kind of want to, God, I've got a couple things I wanted to talk about that we didn't get into. We're both into the outdoors. You are in the Midwest, God's country of whitetails. So I love how you document, you know, every hunting season and all your time in the woods and stuff like that. We'll maybe have to do that in a later podcast, but, but I'm thankful for you, man. I'm thankful for your perspective. I'm thankful for your consistency and just showing up and really on social media, man, because I know that's not easy because you've done it for a long period of time. It's pretty recent to me staying consistently, and we have people that help us manage this, but posting content on social media, because again, back to the ego, I'm always thinking like, a lot of people are rolling their eyes at all this every day and stuff like that. So I'm challenged by that a little bit, but my last question before we kind of wrap things up is, how have you managed that over the years? Because you have not relented on social media and all your marketing, probably knowing that people are annoyed. Some people are annoyed by it, right? How do you manage that? You know?
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And that started many years ago, 2010, I started on social, and, you know, I've been, Here's what I say is that, you know, once I started, I say this, you know, once I started just being me and sharing what I want to share, when I want to share it, you know, you're not going to please everybody. I have this saying in leadership, if you want everybody to like you, go sell ice cream, you know, and, you know, I share my life. You see it every day. I post every day. I have to block time not to post or to put it down, but you know, it's powerful in sharing your journey. You're going to inspire a lot of people. You're going to have a lot of haters and jealousy. And one thing I don't do is jealousy. I don't think with scarcity. I position myself around people that think with abundance. And quite honestly, if it offends somebody that they see me at the lake having a good time with my family or mountain home or my house or whatever, then just defriend me. I'm good.
Yeah,
right. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Yeah. Like, I've been through enough stuff. I've been through enough things in my life that I used to care. I used to care when I first went. So I had people all the time in my insurance agency say, well, you shouldn't post. You know, that's bragging and boasting. You know what? It's inspiration to a lot of people.
Yeah.
If it's not inspiration to you and you see scarcity and you're jealous of it,
move on.
Then that maybe you have the issue.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and I say that with confidence now, man, because I've had, we could do another whole podcast on haters and people coming at you and making up things. And I mean, just the whole nine yards. And what I have figured out, it's in my book, it's a chapter in my book, is when you stop caring about what everybody thinks and you just do you and you share your authenticity, like who you are and what you do daily. Like, the right people will follow. And if they don't, that's okay too. Like, don't, you know, I'm doing this to make a difference. That's my goal. And if that offends some people along the way of me, posting a sunset off my deck here, like you probably need to check yourself. Like, honestly, like, because I'm just the opposite. I want the best for everybody. Like, honestly, like I want Jason to be the best. I want your capital company. I want it to kill it. I want your podcast. Like, think with abundance. And
Absolutely.
that's a chapter in my book too, is, think with abundance. How many people can you help? People say money don't, money's not, it's not everything. It's just a tool, just as you said. But I'm gonna tell you what, it's hard to help a lot of people when you're poor.
You're right. And
I know a lot of people with a lot of money, and they help a lot of people with that money. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you have to get comfortable in your own skin and never apologize for who you are.
Couldn't agree more. The abundance mindset. One of my mentors is Kelly Garrett. You know Kelly. And she said one time, like, she essentially helped us build our company that is a direct competitor to her company, right? We are offering the exact same product. We're structured the same way. She helped us build it. It'd be like me selling ice cream, and I help a guy start an ice cream shop down the road. And I remember early on, her, we were talking about that, kind of joking, and she said, "There's enough sunshine for everybody. Like, you taking some sunshine is not going to stop my sunshine, right? And if you pass that on to the next person and keep that mentality, the world is a better place." And that goes to exactly, it's just that abundance mindset, of wanting to help, wanting to provide value, and wanting everybody to do good. And I love that. I love that mentality. So, where can folks, when the book does release, I think this will be coming out right the week after the release of the book, Freedom Beyond Wealth, where can folks find it?
Yeah, so if you follow me on social, number one,
One.
I'm on there daily.
We'll drop your links in the notes for people to do that.
Just follow me on social. You'll see. I'll have a website. It'll be on social: freedombeyondwealthcoaching.com. It'll be live where you can register, ask questions of anything of that sort. And worst case scenario, send me a message. I'm type A. So I do block time to get back with people, and so it's, as you know, Jason, it's not hard to find me. I don't try to hide. I'm out there, and I look forward to the book coming out. But I just, at the end of the day, our obituaries aren't going to have the amount of money, the amount of all that accolades, what you won, what trips you've been on. It's going to be about, your family and leaving an impact and changing lives. And that's at the end of the day what the whole goal of the book, the coaching, is: helping people and what they're doing.
Well, I'm proud of you, man. It takes Writing a book is a big undertaking. It has been on my brain for years, and I just haven't moved it up the priority list. But you doing it, and several others in my network that have done so lately, has kind of inspired me to kind of reposition that in the priority list, but I know it's going to be valuable. I can't wait to read it myself. I encourage everybody. We'll have the links in the notes by the time this comes out, where everybody can check everything out. Go follow Justin. Justin, I appreciate you again, man. I'm glad we finally knocked this out, and I'm glad, you've got so much and your coaching platform. Once that's all organized and ready to go, let me know, and we'll put it, we'll share it on our social media as well. So,
Well, I will, and I appreciate the conversation. These conversations are make it for a great day, bud. And that's that's, I know that's why you do part of this as well. So thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Justin. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.